Well, good evening to you all, and just want to remind you that ministry is about Jesus, and church should be about Jesus, and our redeemed life is about Jesus, and Jesus is the center piece of our relationship with God. Many of our messages are usually you'll hear messages that we love to hear about, like David and Goliath and Noah and the Ark, and we hear about the creation of God in the Garden of Eden, and we even go through and see Elijah on Mount Carmel and all those great mighty stories. And we move into the New Testament, and we see Jesus walking on water and healing the lepers and healing those who are blind. And we see the great book of Revelation, seven churches, and we see what our future beholds as believers, because without Christ you do not have eternal life. And we come to realize that through our life, and through the Holy Spirit revealing that to us, that we all are sinners and need a relationship with Jesus Christ. But there are some things in Scriptures that we kind of have a tendency to flow over and just kind of burn through. Tonight I want to share three pieces to you tonight. Now, some of those that we do kind of burn through, but I want to share them with you because sometimes we need to speak on these from time to time. And some of them, some of you may not have read them, or it's been a long time. But we're going to look in Acts chapter 19, look a little bit here what's going on with Paul and what's going on. I want to remind you that before Jesus came, before he died upon the cross, life was about knowing who God is as God's people, doing sacrifices, doing those things, and keeping the law. And then there came this little window in time where John the Baptist came out and baptizing those in repentance of sin. It's a little window. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ and the Messiah coming. But it was a small window. And I want to share something here for you in Acts chapter 19. As we go there, I want to just kind of remind you that these scriptures, we could go a lot deeper tonight, but I want to cover three areas tonight. So you might have a few more questions than you have answers once we start. But here it says in chapter 19 in the book of Acts, he says this in verse 1, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions and came to Ephesus. He found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? No, they told him, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And then what baptism were you baptized with? And he asked them, with John's baptism, they replied. And Paul said, John's baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people that they should believe in the one who would come after him, and that is in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in other tongues and to prophesy. Now there were about 12 men in all, and we believe that those were actually John's disciples, kind of trying to figure out what to do next. So what we see here is this little piece here, is this little section. We talked about that little window when people was coming to John the Baptist for forgiveness of sin. It's just a very small window. And it was prepping for the coming of Jesus. And you remember, if you remember Scripture, there was a time when the disciples were talking to John, saying, John, more people are flocking over to Jesus than they are to us. We're kind of losing our crowd. And John says, I need to decrease. He says, Jesus needs to, he's increased. He needs to increase, and I need to decrease. You do not find that very much in ministry today. You can only say that if you're truly a kingdom worker, a child of God, understanding, knowing the kingdom of God really is. Because you'll find out that it's not about the numbers, it's about who you serve. The best church in town is not always the church with the most people or with the biggest ministries. But it's about those who seek the kingdom of God and knowing that the keys belong to Christ. But here I wanted to share with you that there's many scriptures we can bounce to. But he asks a question. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? No. Why? Because they were still in that window. They, their own selves, was kind of still believing. They were still in that window. And so now Paul begins to share with them. And then they become baptized in Jesus. As Jesus says, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or your version may say, the Holy Ghost. Well, the baptism they knew was a baptism for sin. And so this door is closed, but they're kind of in that door still. So God is looking out for them, bringing them to Paul. Paul is explaining to them, no, this is how you do it now. And what was great is they followed that. They followed that. They did what they were supposed to do. I also want to tell you that the baptism doesn't save. Baptism doesn't save. Some people believe that baptism saves. Some people believe that you're not even truly baptized. You don't even receive the Holy Spirit unless you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, separate from a baptism from Jesus Christ. Some people believe that there's these different baptisms as well. Listen, we need to remember, it's not by works that least any man should boast. It's by the grace of God. That's what the book of Ephesians tells us. If we feel like we got to do all these things, then it becomes works. What box did you check off? Let me tell you, it's always, people were healed. Do you believe? Because of your faith, you were healed. It's not by works. It's not by works. And we want to keep adding works to it. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the Holy Spirit once you believe. So this window is closed. There's some people still floating in this window area. They believe it. So here it is. The Lord is just bringing in those who believe in God, bringing in them so they understand who Jesus is and doing it the right way. Does it make sense? This is an area that we don't read a lot. But we do need to understand it. And some people also, I just want to leave you with this before we move on, is that you don't have to speak in tongues and you don't have to be prophecy. That's not the sign that you have the Holy Spirit. Some people believe that. Unless you speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. But some people get caught up in that. They get caught up in what we're just getting ready to go into. Be careful when you read the scriptures that you just don't look at one scripture and you live your whole life on one scripture. That's why God gives us the whole Word of God. That it shores up, one scripture shores up another, and another shores up another, and it becomes the foundation of God's Word. And we grow in the scriptures. So we have to be careful that we just read one. So many people just read one scripture, and that's what they live off that scripture, and most of the time, they're not understanding the context of it. They just get caught up into it, and it leads them into the wrong areas. So know this, Holy Spirit is an amazing piece. Jesus says, I have to go, so the Counselor won't come. The Holy Spirit won't come. The Counselor won't come until I go. And then I'll send him. And you have to wait until the day. And it all happens on Pentecost. And a great thing happened. Peter came down and preached something. Preached it. He had never preached like that unless he had the Holy Spirit. People coming to the Lord. It's amazing. This is amazing peace. But with the Holy Spirit in your life, hasn't your life changed too? I hope it has. Because that's the only way that our lives can change, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But be careful, if you just lean on the Holy Spirit and you leave Jesus out, you're going to find yourself in a little trouble. It is about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. I don't need separate baptisms. It's a faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And then we move into a second area that we don't talk about much. It's just this little moment, this little pocket, another little window to look into. Where Paul has an opportunity to really get verbal and really get, he can really turn on this. It's almost like the bait was there to get in this big argument, but he takes a different route. Let's look at it. He says in verse Verse 8, then he entered the synagogue and spoke boldly, because Paul can speak boastfully over a period of 3 months, engaging in discussion and trying to persuade them about the things of the kingdom of God. I like that right there. I like the piece that he's talking about, the kingdom of God. And he says, but when some became hardened and would not believe, slandering the way, and that's the name of their group, in front of the crowd, he withdrew from them and met separately with the disciples, conducting discussions every day in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And this went on for 2 years. So the all inhabitants of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the message about the Lord. Here's what we find out. We find out here, there's a piece here where Paul is sharing the gospel, sharing about the things of the kingdom of God. And this is in direct opposite of what darkness is trying to press on. And so what we see that there is a group of people here whose hearts begin to become hard. They become hard. I want to share with you over in, I'm just going to jump over there, 2 Corinthians for a minute, chapter 4. So here we find out that Paul is sharing the gospel and the things of the kingdom of God to this group of people, and there's people that their hearts become hardened. When people are not going to accept Christ, they will begin to attack Christ if they have to keep hearing it. They will push away. Why? Scripture tells us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says this, but if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. So we see here that there is another audience, there is more in this room than just Paul and people. You see, even in this room tonight, there is more than just us in this room tonight. We that are believers have the Holy Spirit, amen? We have our Jesus as our Savior. We understand and have acknowledged that God is our Father, is our Creator. We acknowledge that. We are part of the family of God. But there's also another work. There's also another work that's inside the church and is of the darkness. It is of evil. People say, well, I have to see it to believe it. You don't have to see it to believe it. But sometimes you see it. It's just in different ways. It's how people act. But there was a darkness wanting to keep the blinders on people from coming to the gospel. Coming from dark side to the light of God. And Satan is working in the midst of that. So there's always a battleground going on. And what happens with Paul is he's working and he's seeing this for 3 months. And there becomes a group of men that begins to attack. And they start slandering. They do it in front of the crowd. And what happens is this opportunity. I want to fire back. You're throwing some punches. I want to throw punches. But Paul doesn't do that. Paul sees it as it's a setup. Because once your eyes get into a fight, your eyes go off the gospel. If y'all want to say it too, when you go into a fight, your purpose moves to the argument, to the fight, to defending, and it moves away from the gospel and the works of the kingdom, and it moves it into this direction, and then Satan's already won that. Getting you off track is what the dark side wants to do. Keep those people who don't know Christ blinded, and get those people who are serving Christ and ministry off track. Get them refocused. Focus on the noise. Focus on the crowd. Focus on the slandering. Focus on all that stuff. But what does Paul do? Paul turns around and he withdraws from that crowd. And he begins to take that group away, those disciples he's working with, those believers. And what's it say? Then he begins to move to this lecture hall. Moving out of the synagogue into the lecture hall. And if you don't believe that the demons can be in the synagogue, in the church, you need to read the book of Mark. Right there in the beginning, Jesus walks into the synagogue and a demon speaks to a man. What are you doing here, Jesus, the Son of God? Jesus tells them to shut up. Get out. Let me tell you, there's more demon activity in churches than most people know. And if you're not walking with Christ, you'll miss it. If your life isn't walking in the right ways of God, you'll miss it. And the sad part of it is that you might just be part of the tool and part of the problem. But Paul takes a different approach. Instead of attacking and lashing back, he pulls back. He sees what's important. There's a lot of work in 3 months that's been done on some individuals. He pulls them to the side, brings them over to a lecture hall, and what's he do? He spends time with them. He spends time with them. How much time? 2 years. If he didn't do that, he could have lost 2 years of working. Now I'm going to tell you, those disciples, those people who come to Christ, those disciples there, they are much more stronger after 2 years than they were after those 3 months. Amen? And we could see that if that would have turned into a big... Now we know what's going to happen here later on in this chapter. We're not going there. Preached on it many times. But there's a riot that happens in Ephesus. It's a big one. Because too much... The light is pressing too much in Ephesus and dark begins to attack. But we see... So we see this. Paul avoids the fight to keep his focus and purpose on the things that are of the kingdom of God. And because he does that, he's able to help water for 2 years those individuals. We don't talk about this part of Scripture much. It's a very important part of Scripture. Everything is not worth a fight. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. Keep your eyes fixed on what God has called you to do. Serve, and serve well where you are. There's going to be opportunities when you're in the flesh. You're going to want to rebound. You're going to want to You want to attack, pull back. Don't lose what God's given you. Because if you're going to pick up the argument, you've got to let go of something. Because you know how it is. Arguments and fights and quarrels, disagreements, they take a lot of energy. There's a lot of temptation. Your heart gets hard. You know, you don't even realize it, but you become almost like the one. You become just like the ones that are attacking you. Paul chose wisely. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Pull back. Focus. Work with these individuals. Good peace. Scriptures that we just kind of miss. These are scriptures we just kind of go by. It's a good peace. We move on now to a piece here where we're talking about some demons. We're talking about this. We're talking about a really tough spot here. We mention it, but we don't talk about it that much. Now, verse 11, God was performing extraordinary miracles by Paul's hands. Got to stop there. Extraordinary miracles by Paul's hands. I would assume, I believe, through Scripture, Paul, God did a lot of miracles. Now, I want to share this with you. Paul's not doing the miracles. God is. God is doing the miracles, and he's doing it through Paul. Okay? He's using Paul. Today, we're listening to some preachers and we believe they have this extraordinary power themselves. They do not have any power, especially they do not have God's Holy Spirit power. Not in that sense. Because God's not going to do those kind of things through someone who exalts themselves and not the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So what we have had in the last 40, 50 years, and so forth, even back, but you can turn on the TV in the 70s, 80s, and 90s for sure, and even in the 2000s, where you can throw in $25 for a bottle, a little packet of miracle water. Well, people get so desperate that they don't just send $25 in, they send $100 in. Because if they're going to sprinkle it, they're going to do it right, what they're feeling. But all they're getting is the same kind of water that you're getting out of your own faucet. Because they're looking at the water being the healing. They're looking at that preacher so-and-so doing the healing. It isn't the water. It isn't the person. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Father. But there are times we see extraordinary miracles by Paul. Now, Luke is writing this. Luke's seen some things. Luke's seen a lot of things. He uses this word extraordinary because extraordinary things were happening. You see, Acts also talks about the things that God did through Peter and John. and some other miracles that God did through other disciples, the apostles. But through Paul, God was using him in a way that extraordinary things were. So even face cloths and work aprons and handkerchiefs, they had been touched with his skin. And so they that had touched his skin were brought to the sick. And the diseases left them and evil spirits came out of them. So there were things that even Paul had that were just healing people. This is a God thing. You just got to leave some things to God. Why he chose to do that? He chose to do that. This is the uplifting of the church, the beginning of the church. God was showing his power through apostles and through the local churches. The churches prayed and Peter was right out of jail. I wish we would believe that prayer is that powerful still today, because it is. So there were some things that were going on with Paul. And God was using Paul. People were coming to him. And people were being healed. And people were being, demons were coming out. And then something happens. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, now that would be traveling Jewish exorcists. These guys would travel around. Okay? People didn't really realize that in Scripture there is the word exorcist. Exorcist. We don't talk about that. So, they're traveling around. And so they attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. So they attempted to pronounce. You've got to really look at the words. They attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus. Or over those who had evil spirits, saying, I command you by Jesus that Paul preaches. So they're using some things they do not understand. Oh yeah, Paul's doing things. We're going to use that. We've seen that in Scripture later on in Acts, that there's another guy that wants to, hey, can I buy that power? There's people that want this power, and they're always put down for that. The disciples are very critical about that. But here it is. These guys are doing this, and they want to use the name. They're attempting to pronounce the name of Jesus. They don't even know who Jesus is. And they're also saying by the name who Paul preaches. And it says, Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest. So this is a chief priest. He knows about God. He knows about things. But a lot of people know about God things. A lot of people can say, oh yeah, God created the earth in 7 days and created this, created that. Yeah, God sent his son Jesus. You can know things about God, but you need to know God. And if you know God, then you would know that he loved man so much that he gave his only son. And God says that you want to know me, now you have to know my son. You don't come to me, but only through my son. You don't receive the Holy Spirit until you receive my son. See how everything focuses back to the son, Jesus Christ? So they turn around, and so they're going to do something. They're going to attempt to cast out this demon. Cast out the demon, this evil spirit out of a person. Be careful what you watch and what you listen to when it comes to these evil practices. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. The evil spirit answered them, I know Jesus. Now here it is. This man begins to speak, but it's not the man speaking. It's a demon speaking. And let me tell you right now, there are demons. There are demons. And there are angels. But let me remind you that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God on the throne. God is in charge. Jesus is in charge. Okay? Remember, demons are created angels who rebelled against God. They are created. They are not stronger than God. They are not stronger than Jesus. And they are not stronger than the Holy Spirit. But let's check this out. The evil spirit answered, I know Jesus. They all know Jesus. Did you know that? Every time Jesus would go somewhere, the demons would always come out, Jesus, Son of God. They were fearful and afraid of Jesus, rightfully so. They know they have an end because they rebelled against God. And Jesus holds the keys. Jesus died on the cross. There's a whole lot more to that. But he says, I know Jesus, and I know Paul. I recognize Paul. I know Paul. How in the world does he know Paul? How does a demon know Paul? I believe that demons know who's saved and who's not. I don't know. We cannot tell. I see your face. I see your face. I see your face. You see mine. But there's something in the spiritual world. There's things. We just don't see that world. You see, the reason why we don't see that world is because we need to believe by faith. Faith is believing without seeing. I believe that God is real. I don't see him. I see the acts of his creation and his acts of his hands. I see. I believe in Jesus Christ that he died on the cross and rose again. That's my faith. I believe that I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I've not seen the Holy Spirit, but I believe it. How can I acknowledge that? Because there's been things in my life that there's no other way that I can acknowledge. Hearing from the Holy Spirit, knowing that the Holy Spirit is speaking. But even the demon knows that I know Jesus. I know Paul. But he says, who are you? Basically, he's saying, I know Jesus because he has power and he's the Son of God. I know Paul because he has the Holy Spirit and God works through him. But who are you? You have nothing. Matter of fact, I'm going to do something. He doesn't say that, but we're going to see that he does something. Because sometimes you don't have to say something, you just do it. What does they do? What's he do? Then the man who had the evil spirit leaped on them. Now remember, how many sons did he have? 7. He would be 8. There's 8 of them. I don't care how good a shape you're in. I don't care how much martial arts you can't take 8 people. Now even Chuck Norris, I know, can't take 8 people. But the man who had the evil spirit leaped on them and overpowered them all and prevailed against them. Did you see? He overpowered them all. And when demons are in people, they can have extraordinary strength. I want to also just let you know, and I think many of you know this, their greatest weapon, their greatest advanced weapon is that you don't believe in them. That's their greatest advantage. They're not real. And then they can do whatever they want because you don't believe. Now, we're not supposed to be afraid of them. But when we start talking about them, we think of things. We do live in the fleshly world and we can have some fears. So let's not say that there's not times when we might not be afraid. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that's in me than he who is in the world. That's how you win your battles. Scripture is just coming out of you. And you're like, I didn't plan on saying that scripture tonight, but it just came out of me. It's the scripture I use when I get across that crossroads where I'm unsure. What's going on here? Feel a little darkness here. Oh, feel a little attack on me. I'm going to use scripture. Why? Because there's power in scripture, amen? There's power. Everybody should know at least a couple of scriptures to help you through life. You needed some when you first came to Christ. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Somebody shared that to me and said, what? What's that mean? Everybody sins. Everybody falls short. As a lost person, I needed to hear what the power of that was. Wow, I'm lost. But he that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoa, what's the power of that? I can be saved through that. But as I grow in my walk, I still understand those scriptures, but I don't need those scriptures, but I need to share those scriptures. But what I need now is to understand that, wow, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can get through this. I can get through this. But these guys did not know who Jesus was. They said they made an attempt to say Jesus' name. They were saying, in this Paul, they didn't even know who Paul was, but they were traveling exorcists. So, they prevailed. This demon prevailed against all 8 of them. So they ran out of the house naked and wounded. That means they got beat up. It says they tore the clothes off of him. And I'm going to tell you, when a man is seen naked, it is a shameful thing. In this culture, it is a shameful thing. All you got to do is go back and read about Noah in the ark. Two of the sons would walk in backwards so they would not see their father naked and covered him. It was a shameful thing. These guys have ran out and they were naked and they were wounded. That means they were hurt. And it says, this became known to everyone who lived in Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. Everybody heard this story. And then fear fell on all of them, and the name of the Lord was magnified. The name of the Lord was magnified. This is what God wants. That his name, that Jesus' name be magnified. It's what the whole book of Acts is. Magnify the name of the Lord. Man must be saved. There is a way to salvation, and it's through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. But then we come to this part here. And many who had become believers came confessing and disclosing their practices. So there were some that, when they came to Christ, they got rid of some stuff. And they disclosed some of the things that they were doing. But I also believe that there were some that were believers that still had some of this stuff in their lives. Listen, there is no reason for you to have any kind of witchcraft books in your home to where you read it. I understand studying and research. I do. I understand that. But there's no purpose for you to have Wicca books in your home, witchcraft books in your home, and you read those wanting help, seeking out a better fortune for your life. But there have been people here who have. I know there's been some. And so what do? Many who had become believers came confessing. That is the first thing you have to do to get your heart right. Confess. Amen? Confess. So they confess and disclosing their practices. Could you imagine right now if you went up on First Street, cross over to Division, come down Guilford, come across Court Street, right back up First Street? That's a block. That's a big block, right? That's probably about 8 blocks long, maybe 3 blocks wide. Pretty close. Do you know what's in those homes? You think it's all little kid books? You think it's all Bibles? 20 years ago, you know we celebrated 20 years this year. Our very first year, me, Carla, Scott, and a guy named Rich, we were going to go out and we were going to knock on doors. Hello, we're starting a church here. Just to let you know that we would pray for you. And this one to let you know that we started a church up down the street downtown. And we'd love if you don't have a church, maybe you might want to try this out. But hey, how can we pray for you in the meantime? We'd do that and knock on other doors. Me and Carla hit up over here on First Street. And we took a hard left, went on down. I saw, oh, there's some people outside. Can't wait to do that because sometimes people see you coming and they won't answer the door. They just won't answer the door. So I was really kind of like, oh, man, we get to spend a few minutes since we talked to somebody. So we went up there and I'm looking, I'm like, by the time we got up there, the screen door was shut, but the big door was wide open. And I can hear them rustling in the background, bing, bing, bing. They didn't come to the door, bing, 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 they didn't come to the door. But what was sitting at the bottom of the screen door, leaned up against it, were two witchcraft books. Some of my conversation with some people in this community is that there is a strong witchcraft group over in this community. There was someone in this church that shared with me at a Little League team that they heard that they found out they were overhearing what somebody was talking about and their satanic rituals that were coming up. Don't think it doesn't exist. It's right here in Huntington. It's right here in Huntington. Let me just remind you, that day doesn't work. That stuff doesn't work. You all know that I teach a group in New Haven. Some time ago, somebody shared with me, it was here in Huntington, that Nave was in a home here, right over here, and basically said there were some things that happened in that house. And he said, I've never been scared a day in my life. Never scared of my dad, never scared of anybody. I'll stand up anybody. I've been to prison 3 times. I'll take anybody on. But something happened in that house that scared me for the first time in my life. I was scared. He said, I saw something come up out of that floor that just scared me and stunned me, and I stood there, and I couldn't move. And I knew what was happening. We were all just doing some drinking, and the owners decided, the home, they decided they pulled the carpet over, a rug across, and there was a pentagram right in the floor of the living room. And they began to conjure something up. And something came up, and they began to work through that, try to work through that, and they were conjured because they wanted to. Listen, if you ask Jesus Christ to come in your life, he'll do that. But if you ask Satan to be a part of your life, he'll come too. And they were doing that, and he finally said, I came to a moment where I just had this moment, and I just came to myself, and I just ran out of there as fast as I could. And I asked him, do you know where that house is? He says, I'll never forget it. I said, could you tell me where that house is? He says, no, sir. I don't want anything coming back on me. You can believe me or not. But I want to tell you, it is here. It is in this community. If you go across the street to the church we own over there, we know this, that church has been evangelized. People have squatted in it. But if you go up on the second floor, when we were over there, some of our children drew crosses and they painted on the walls and got some handprints and some of my son's names on it, a couple of handprints. That's a good thing. But somebody else came in and decided to do pentagrams and upside down crosses in that building. It is here. Whether you believe it or not, it is here. What turns people around? Jesus Christ. People have to share the gospel. So Chris, when you shared that, we want this town to change, we want people to change, wherever they are, we got to start sharing the gospel. He said they calculated the value. Let me back up. He says, while many of those who had practiced magic collected their books and burned them in front of everyone. So they got rid of them. So they calculated their value and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. And in this way, the Lord's message flourished and prevailed. This was a lot of money. But let me remind you, people spend a lot of money on sin. People spend a lot of money on heroin. They don't care as long as they get their high. People spend a lot of money on cocaine. People spend a lot of their money on sin. They were spending their money in sin. Satan will take every dollar you got, keep you, and then you're broke. He'll steal everything you got. Why? Because Scripture says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal whatever you got. Kill what you got. Kill that heart you got. Destroy your life. And when you breathe your last breath, whether you think there's a God or not, there is. And you'll stand there. A person will stand there alone, empty-handed. Christ will not be there, except as a judge. And he'll judge righteously. And that person, Scripture says, will be separated from God for eternity. Now, the reason people don't believe that is because what we just read in 2 Corinthians. Satan blinds and veils the eyes of those of unbelievers, those who are perishing. This is some scripture that we just don't share much. But it's valuable for us to know that there's a lot more going on than what we can see. A lot more going on than what we know. But just know this, God is in charge. Amen? Father, as we get ready to close out tonight, we have an opportunity to listen to what your Holy Spirit is speaking. Father, I pray that your Spirit, your will be done tonight. In Christ's name, amen. As we